I think we're on.
Where are we?
Yeah, there it is. The beat kicks in. Those of you following on Periscope have no idea why I'm excited right now. But you know what? You are listening to the internationally known Bacon Smiles podcast. That's right. The last time on Periscope, we had a follower from
Russia.
Russia. Czechoslovakia. I don't know. One of those places. Rio de Janeiro. Awesome.
Welcome.
That's right. Internationally known podcast, Bacon Smiles. As always, I'm a founder of Bacon Smiles Ministry, Steve Patera, joined with my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome. It is super funny that we have people from all over the world tuning in on Periscope. Those of you on Periscope, check out the website, baconsmiles.org/podcast, and you can catch up on all the episodes. We're doing it a little later than we normally do. I had a pretty awesome thing tonight. My future in-laws, my future sister-in-law and brother-in-law, her husband, opened a coffee shop on Main Street in Manchester.
That's cool.
Yeah, Silk City Coffee. It's a pretty awesome place. It has a Christian backing and moral stance. They have a pretty awesome little community board where you can ask for prayers, or maybe you need a service. Maybe you're elderly and you need someone to mow your lawn. You can put a little thing up and stuff like
that.
That's
cool.
So that's really cool. So check it out. The grand opening is tomorrow. Silk City Coffee on Main Street in Manchester, Connecticut.
Very cool.
So give them a little plug.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's happened since the last time we saw each other? A couple weeks ago, and I know I talked about it on the podcast, we had my men's ministry meet and greet.
Yes, I heard about that.
On the 8th. It was awesome. We had tons of men there. The theme of the event and our talk at the end with video and stuff like that was how to take back your family as a Christian, as a good Catholic man. And it's a tough topic, but we touched upon that. You can check out that video again on my friend website, prime-cuts.org. It's pretty cool. Yeah. We give you some kind of tips on some offensive ways that you can take back your family, and then some defensive ways to defend your family from basically today's culture.
Yeah.
The other cool thing about that event is always the outlandish activities we have.
I remember a couple years ago coming over to the retreat, and it was just nuts, you know, doing the paintball gun fights and launching 2x4s from a cannon.
Oh yeah, the 2x4 cannon is awesome.
Yeah.
Again, if you check out prime-cuts.org, you can see the videos of the outlandish things we've done. Also my buddy's website, Red Barn Ministries. Sam, we do it on his property, so I definitely should give him a plug. He's a youth minister just like myself and Evan, and so he goes out to other churches and stuff like that, and it's just really awesome.
Yeah.
So we did.
And there's bacon everywhere.
We cooked so much bacon and so much meat. It was so funny because a few of our leadership team members couldn't be there, so we kind of had to do some roles that we're not used to. Normally, I'm helping set up for some of the activities, and I ended up having to work on the grill. And it was so funny. Hundreds of burgers, hundreds of hot dogs and steaks and pork chops, and the grill is filled. This isn't just like your normal backyard grill. This is like an 8-foot-long grill that's just filled with burgers and hot dogs. And I turn around, I fill it up, and I'm like, all right, I'll put all the hamburgers on again. I turn around, all the stuff that I just cooked is gone. Like, people are just eating and eating it, and so I'm like, oh, man, I'm behind. So then, I'm doing all this other stuff, and it's crazy, how fast that things were going, and, I got behind, and it was just cool. And we brought back a couple of repeats and games, which was awesome, because, some people haven't been at every one, so we did the toilet toss. And you take a toilet, it's about as simple as it sounds. You take a toilet and you try to throw it as far as you can. And I will have you know that the world record holder still is our friend, Sean Forrest. He threw it a couple of years ago, threw a toilet over 40 feet.
What?
It's with the bounce.
I mean, the dude's a giant.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast. Like, you know, and so I think the most we got this time, there was a guy who threw it like 22 feet. So it's crazy that and we play with the bounce. So, you know, he got with a little good roll after. But, I mean, 40 feet is 40 feet.
Cow.
Yeah, we're talking throwing a full-size toilet, you know. So, world record of 41 feet for Sean Forrest.
Got to get Guinness next time.
Yeah. You know.
World records.
Not
the drink. I didn't mean the drink. Nothing wrong with it.
The Guinness Book of World Records, which is also in the Guinness Book of World Records for the world record holder of stolen books every year.
Really?
Is the Guinness Book of World Records.
I didn't know that statistic.
Yeah, the book that is most stolen from libraries is the Guinness Book of World Records. And it is in the record book for being that.
That's funny.
That's like a tongue twister. Yeah, I won't be able to say that again, but I hope you got that. So,
so what takeaways? I mean, you were talking about the topic of the retreat, you know, the men's retreat.
Yeah. So,
was there anything from that you took away from it that you thought, wow, that was really neat?
Well, I take a lot of things away because, you know, I'm not a father yet, and just taking from my friends who have children and they're just awesome, loving husbands to their wives and what they do on a daily basis. And they talk about how they send their kids to Catholic school and people tell them like, oh, don't you worry about, you know, that you're sheltering your kid. And like my friend Johnny was funny because he's like, oh, well, I want to shelter my kid.
Yeah.
You know, today's culture is so scary in what people are exposed to at such young ages. And so he's like, why wouldn't I want to shelter my kid from that? You know, yeah. And so for me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. And then you're just like, yes, our job is to protect our children. You know, like we said last time, number one goal, heaven. Mm-hmm. So if the goal for a parent is to get their kid to heaven, then wouldn't you want to shelter your kid from stuff? And, you know, just making sure, being diligent. In today's day and age, being a parent, it's all about being diligent. If you're not on top of everything, then, you know, you can be exposing your kids to just about anything just by them having a tablet, a phone, or access to the internet. They can be exposed to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. So the fact that, you know, you have to be diligent is something that you should always be reminded. You should never feel like you're being an overbearing parent. Your judgment should be to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that should be your first instinct. And then as you have kids, from what I've been told, you're going to have, you know, learning process, and every kid is different. Even if you have multiple kids, my friend Johnny's got 5.
Wow.
He says every one of his kids is different. So you can't do the same thing every time.
Right.
So
we have to be careful with my little sister because she's 15. She's going to be 15 years old this December. We still have to be careful with certain movies we show her just because she's got an active imagination, and some movies that I was fine with at that age still scare her.
Yep.
And she can have nightmares. You said, every kid's different.
Every kid is different. That's the thing. It's all about everyone's threshold is a little different on different things. So, you know, just got to be diligent. That was the number one thing I took away is, you know, being a parent is important. It's you, and you have to, you work at it. It's not something that you can do kind of halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Periscope, a little flash of my my iPad is on charging, so it keeps flashing 5%. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, it doesn't really faze you at all.
No.
Another really cool thing that we did since our last podcast is this past weekend we had a youth group
for
our youth ministry, and it was fun. I do have to say, we played a game where you had to like hold your breath for a second and then scream while running down the hallway, and you stopped running when you ran out of breath.
Yeah. Some kids were pretty impressive.
I do have to say, some kids were really impressive, but Evan clearly went for comic relief when he was running down the hallway. He had the face like, ah! mouth wide open, running with his arms like this, like just wailing side to side. And yeah, I'm saying like this. And there's like two people following us on Periscope right now.
Just imagine.
Just imagine if you were going to run with high knees, straight back, flailing your arms as much as possible.
That's how I normally run.
Are you saying that's not the correct
way? People stare at me at the gym.
That's how you run on the treadmill. Screaming and all. Right. It burns! I mean, our levels are going to be, like, bleeding. You know, it's just people are going to be turning this down the whole time. I'm, like, yelling at the... But that was fun. We had a couple more like just outlandish games, and it was good to see a bunch of kids come for our first youth group of the year.
Because it was a combined one too, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just St. Bart's.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was combined.
No. Yeah, St. Bridget's had their social justice class, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
They had confirmation at St. Bridget's. They have two classes a month. One that's more of like a catechist-led class, and then another one that's like a social justice presenter. So, that's why Steve D'Amata, our coordinator at St. Bart's, was not there at youth group. He wanted to come, and Evan helped me out coming and being the other adult there because that is necessary.
Yeah. No, it was fun. I always like being able to help out.
Yeah, it was good. We played a bunch of games and had a pretty awesome prayer experience at the end. It went really well. So it's always good to have just a way to have the kids just relax and have fun.
Yeah.
And I just want youth group just to be a place that's stress relief for the kids, a place where they can ask for prayers and petitions and stuff like that and then just be goofy.
And a lot of them recognize the value that our program brings, which is awesome, especially for the new kids coming in to see right off the bat and go, you know, I feel like this is a second home. And hearing that and just the gratitude coming from the kids of just knowing that it's a safe place, it's a fun place, it's a place to be open, it's rewarding. You know, it's a nice feeling, and it's great to be a part of something like that.
No, absolutely. And that's exactly, you know, you hit it right on the head where they said that it's a second home. You know, everyone has struggles. Everyone, you know, we talk about it all the time. Everyone has down spots. And what we hope as youth ministers and catechists and, you know, adults ministering to youth, we just hope that we can give them a place where they can have fun and enjoy themselves. So that's, you know, a place where they can be a kid again. They're so overscheduled and stressed and everything is going on in their lives. And, you know, you want to give them a place to, you know, veg out, have a good time. You know, and just be kids and snack.
And run down the hall screaming.
Yep, run down the hall screaming as loud as you can. So, those of you out there that are looking for a good game to play with any kids of any age,
especially when you want to get all the hyperness out.
Oh, yeah. So, you just find it either a really long hallway, which is where we did it, or a nice open field or something like that. And you just tell them to, you know, start at a start line and just run. While screaming.
My mom used to tell my brother and I, hey, can you just run around the house for, you know, a few laps? She would just do that. When we'd get a little too much as kids, she'd just go, run around the house a few laps. See how fast you can go. That, we realized later on what she was doing. But
yeah, of course. Yeah. She's like, oh, you guys are killing me. Outside.
Just run around the house.
Just spazzing out, shaking. Yeah. Awesome. Did you want to talk about some things going on in music?
Sure. So last weekend, some new releases came out from Hillsong Worship. They have a new project out called Let There Be Light. Also last weekend, a new project came out from Phil Wickham. We played one of his songs as a early morning wake-up prayer experience at retreat a couple of years ago. But he's got a new project called Children of God Acoustic Session.
Okay.
And then rapper Derek Minor came out a new project, Reflection Disciple Hard Rock Band came out with a project called Long Live the Rebels, and 10th Avenue North came out with their latest album called Followers. Now this weekend, as you guys are listening to this podcast, Chris Tomlin will have a new album out called Never Lose Sight, which features that song Good Good Father. Also his new song Jesus. Now, hold on to your hats. There's a lot of Christmas albums coming out this weekend as well. I'm sure you're ready for it. Lauren Daigle has a new project coming out called Behold, which I've actually listened to some of the songs on it, and it's really, really good. It's more of a – it's inspired by her hometown of New Orleans and just a nice jazzy vibe to it.
Oh, that's
so just
really
kind
cool.
of a throwback jazzy Christmas album. So – when I heard that, I was just going,
I'm laughing because I'm just thinking about how much Christmas stuff is already coming out.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, okay, so Christmas albums, I really feel like it should be like, I don't know, December before you catch, you know, Christmas albums in the store or on iTunes.
Well, what's weird is it feels early for us.
Yeah.
A lot of these musicians will meet in the recording studio in June, July.
Oh, that's
true. Because they have to record these projects in order for them to be available on time.
Oh, absolutely. Because, yeah, they got to digitize it. They got to sync it. Sometimes
they got to come up with the producers and the album artwork.
And sometimes one artist is playing all three or four instruments on a track.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they got to sync everything up. And that part is crazy to me. But,
yeah,
can you imagine singing Christmas songs in June?
In July. Got your Christmas sweater on, the Christmas lights hanging in the studio.
Well, that's
it's beginning to fade.
How about when they have to release a Christmas music video?
Oh, yeah.
When are they recording this?
Yeah, the next week.
Yeah.
So on that topic, Jody McBrayer, who sang for the band Avalon, he's got a solo project coming out, Christmas Time. Matthew West has a new album, Unto Us, a Christmas Collection. Matt Redman has one coming out called These Christmas Lights. And new song is celebrating the 15th anniversary of their song, Christmas Shoes. With the release of their project, The Best Christmas Ever. So that is, let's see, 5 Christmas albums coming out tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Plus Chris Tomlin's Never Lose Sight.
Yeah, so, I mean, Rush
and I'm
to
not
the
even
stories.
Getting into that's you know, some of the highlights of the release that's coming out tomorrow. There's, like, Cajun Music Christmas albums coming out next this weekend. So,
oh, yeah.
They're going all out.
You know, rush out before they all go. You
that's
know,
right.
The stores are going to start selling out of these Christmas CDs.
That's right.
Can you, like, I know that I do home theater installs for Best Buy, and we have a very small CD section now. It's weird. Can you find these albums, like, actually as CDs? Or it's mostly iTunes now, right?
What I like to do is I like to get it off of Amazon, because I found a lot of the new releases, they'll have the audio rip. So that you can buy the CD, but in the meantime, you can still download the MP3 version onto your laptop. So you have that to hold yourself. Yeah, you have it to hold yourself over up until the CD comes up.
That's cool. That's cool.
So I've been doing that. If I know that I'm going to like the project, I'll get the CD.
Okay.
But if I just want a few songs, I'll just get that off of iTunes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. And it is funny when you think about the fact that it's almost the end of October right now.
Like, yeah.
By the time people are listening to this, a month and a half left
to 2016.
Yeah. I mean, by the time people are listening to this podcast, it's October 21st, a week away from the end of the month. I know. It's crazy. This year is going by very fast. I can't believe we've already done 14 episodes of this podcast. Yeah. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I do the Turkey Day race every year.
Yeah, in Manchester, right?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, like, 5,000 people or more do that every year? Like, it's an absurd amount of people.
I saw the amount of people that it was, like, on a website they were saying when it first started out, it was only, like, 4 to 6 people that started it.
Really?
And now it's, you know, become kind of a nationwide phenomenon where people will fly in to Connecticut to run in this race.
Awesome. Do you think that they closed up traffic when it started? Like,
probably those not.
4 or 6 people are just running
just
next to cars.
What are these people doing?
It's just, hey man, I'm trying to run. Don't you know that this is the first annual Manchester road race? I would have been the guy who's like, it finishes like 15 to 20 minutes after everyone else. No, I'm running the road race. Oh, excuse me, get out of the road.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm trying to get to my family's house.
But yeah, I've done it for the past like 4 or 5 years now, which is awesome. And then, you know, I get to eat a lot of food because that's, I feel better about myself that I ran before my meal somehow. So that just lets me eat as much as I want. That's
right.
Really not how that works, but that's how I say it does.
You feel better about it.
So I feel better about the fact that I need stretchy pants by the end of the day.
Look at this turkey.
Oh, man. As always, like we, my transition here.
Yeah.
As always, we like to honor our saints every episode as I drop a pen. And today's saint is pretty awesome. St. Paul of the Cross, he pretty much founded the order of priests, and there's a bunch of religious brothers in this order, and there are some sisters in this order. It's in 59 countries worldwide, Passionists. They devoted their lives to the passion of the Christ and what Christ gave to us and in his passion. So St. Paul of the Cross opened his first monastery with a certain rules and lifestyles, and it, everything about it was a vision that he had from God. And so he started this order based on a vision he had from God. So pretty awesome saint. Definitely look him up. Evan and I both have met priests that are passionists, and it's just an awesome order, and it's pretty awesome to be able to still see that today, to know that he died in the 1600s, but this order is still alive and thriving around the world. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so pretty awesome Saint Paul of the Cross.
Good.
Awesome. We also always like to have a news of the weird.
Absolutely. And, you know, as believers, I think it's safe to say we believe that our Sundays are pretty sweet, right? In Michigan, a lot of people are saying their Sunday was pretty sweet, but in a different way. The Guinness Book of World Records, which we were discussing earlier, marked that the world's longest Sunday was eaten in Michigan this past June. Roughly half a mile long, it measured 2,970 feet long in length.
Wow.
And about 1,000 people ate it, lining 8 blocks in Lake Michigan town of Ludington. So, pretty remarkable, half a mile long Sunday.
I mean, that that is an absurd amount of ice cream. So,
and according to Guinness, I guess the last time the record was set was in 2015 in New Zealand. And the Sunday was 1,957 feet and 1 inch for good measure.
So were they trying to double? Like, so how many more feet is that?
That's like
500
that's about,
and something?
That's a little over 1,000 more.
Wow. Wow. Like, that's an absurd amount of ice cream.
Yeah.
So...
And I guess they're working, I guess there's a group in Nashville, Michigan, trying to break the record, making a dessert that's spanning 3,656 feet.
Okay, so...
This is a lot of dairy.
That is a tremendous amount of dairy. It's a tremendous amount of ice cream. But are they just putting it on the ground, do you think?
No, no. I think they probably have some swimming pools that they just, you know, maybe cut the side and put them together. Make a little dish that way.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay. All right. But, wow. So single scoops next to each other.
Yeah.
How do they make it without the ice cream melting? Like, the first ice cream has to just be a puddle by the time it's
Well, maybe that's why you have a pool, you know, and just
I've ended up going swimming in it later. I have many questions about this.
I have many questions about the free time these people have.
I mean, not only that, but so someone decided... Hey, I might not be able to make the tallest ice cream, but you know what I can do? I can make the longest ice cream.
Now just crumble up some bacon bits and we'll be there.
I mean, I am definitely there. So, okay, just so you know, I am only a vanilla-based ice cream fan. That doesn't mean I only eat vanilla ice cream. What that means is I don't like chocolate ice cream. I don't like strawberry ice cream. I don't like mint chocolate chip. Yeah, that's right. I know I'm breaking some hearts.
Fighting words.
Yeah, yeah. Some people out there ready to just go ahead and turn off this podcast right now. But, I mean, you give me a good chocolate chip, chip cookie dough. I'll eat that. Okay. Some swirl, some caramel, some, you know, stuff like that. Moose tracks, also good. I enjoy a nice, scooped ice cream. I like soft served as well, but no, this is just like, I don't know.
I'd be interested to know what's the weirdest ice cream flavor our listeners have tried out. Because there's a lot of obscure ice cream flavors out there. Sometimes when you go to the little mom and pop shops,
yeah,
and even the Yukon Dairy Bar, sometimes you'll see flavors and go, I didn't know that existed.
Well, yeah, you know what's really funny is so... You've been to Soul Fest with us. Did you ever have the Cookie Monster?
I have not tried that.
The blue ice cream.
I think Jen's had that.
It's got like M&Ms and cookie dough and chocolate chips and all this stuff. It's really funny. Eva texted me the other day, like just randomly, like, hey, you remember that Cookie Monster ice cream? Oh, it was so good. From like a year ago.
Yeah. But good enough to remember it.
I mean, it was good. So, yeah, hey, we did a challenge last time of sharing things that make you smile with hashtag bacon smiles. I'd love to do that again. I'd love to see some pictures of filling up Facebook, Twitter, Instagram that are just positive. I know everything out there is not exactly positive right now. I just want to see my Facebook feed filled with smiles. I want to see... Instagram and Twitter. I'd love to just see the hashtag bacon smiles out there. If you want to take a picture of ice cream, put it out there, what your favorite flavor of ice cream is. We can have a debate with the hashtag bacon smiles. You know, what's your favorite ice cream and what makes you smile? I just challenge you to put some positive out into the world. That's what this podcast is all about, trying to make people smile, trying to bring some joy of Christ to the world. And that's really what we're trying to do here. So we had to end our Periscope a little short today, run into some technical difficulties. But
if you want to check us out, view a future podcast recording, join us. It's simply Bacon Smiles.
Yep.
We're also on Twitter, _BaconSmiles. And you can also follow us on individually on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Stevie.pt on Instagram, Stevie_PT on Twitter, Steve Patira on Facebook. And if you found this podcast, you know my website, baconsmiles.org.
That's right.
There's links for my social media right at the top there. As always, I'm just super thankful to my good friend Evan for joining me for these. I have a good time. You can tell we laugh a lot. I have a good time, and I just want to, you know, keep trying to get the word out there. And I appreciate all you guys who listen and have a good time and follow us along. We had a listener from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil on Periscope, the person from like Russia last time. So it is pretty cool. We're internationally
known. And we're known to rock a microphone.
But I know that it's a lot of friends and family that listen to us. So I'm really, really thankful to all of you who listen. So remember, reach out, hashtag Bacon Smiles. And as always, thank you and keep smiling. God bless.